Let's go to Matthew 4 tonight, Matthew 4, and to the verse 19. These words of the Lord Jesus to four brethren. There were, first of all, Simon Peter and Andrew, and then James and John. And this word to four brethren, and he said unto them in verse 19, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, before we really get started tonight, I want to clear up a problem. And that's why I read John chapter 1 firstly. John 1 is an account of their conversion, and Matthew 4 is an account of their call to discipleship. And you will read in John 1 that Andrew, and you've probably have heard of Operation Andrew, is an evangelistic effort to bring others to Jesus. And so that was their introduction to the Lord. That was their first hearing when John preached, and these men were there, and they heard, "Behold, the Lamb of God," the very text that we have here above our pulpit. But here in Matthew 4, we have something that goes a little further. Not merely a call to be saved, but a call to be fishers of men and to be disciples. And that teaches you and I something tonight that we need to really grasp. That you're not saved just to get to heaven by the skin of your teeth, to get into heaven and say, "Well, I'm safe." No, you are saved to be a disciple, to be a fisher of men. And what a waste when people profess to be Christians, but really don't translate into becoming disciples of the Lord. Now, in this, we might well take a leaf out of the cult's book of evangelism, because the cults are masters of discipleship. Now, we know that they've got the devil's message. We know that they are workers of darkness, and they are proselytizing all kinds of ways that we wouldn't do, but they believe in discipleship. The Christian church today is half asleep and has lost out by giving people a comfortable pew and the idea that you can be a professing Christian and leave it there. No, we learn here that the Lord calls men, and he calls every one of his people to be disciples. Now, I would conclude that if you are not a disciple of the Lord Jesus, you are in danger of becoming a disciple of the devil, even as a Christian. And there are those who may well be saved and go to heaven, but they are doing more with their lives for the devil's kingdom than they'll ever do for the Lord's kingdom. They're serving riches, they're serving the world, they're serving pleasure, and today, on God's day, they're probably out there enjoying the amusements of the world, saved by grace, but are not disciples of the Lord Jesus. But praise God for salvation that makes us followers of the Lord Jesus, that we have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Now, when we look at the first disciples of Jesus, we have no doubt a lot to learn. And the fact that these men were fully involved in fishing careers, that they would instantly and on the spot become followers of the Lord and his work is absolutely remarkable. That they would just drop everything and immediately obey this call to follow the Lord Jesus. How can it be? Well, it fits into the category of the call of the Lord to make disciples. That's the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and lo, I am with you. And the commission is to make disciples of all nations. And we do not read in the gospels of anyone whom Jesus called that didn't obey. There is no one in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John that the Lord Jesus said, call, follow me. And they went out and served the world. Everyone obeyed that most effectual, powerful call to serve the Lord. And there's quite a list of those who did. Well, we have here James and John. We have Peter and Andrew. We know of Matthew, who was sitting at the receipt of custom. He was a tax collector. We read in John 1 of Philip, who later brought Nathanael. And today, the Lord is still in the business of calling men and women to this work of discipleship of the Lord Jesus, which is really the greatest work on earth. Now, it's an exciting thing for you and for me to be a part of and to be laboring in the greatest work on earth. Now, I didn't say the biggest work on earth. We're probably one of the smallest churches around, and we still have empty seats. So I'm not going to try and convince you that this is going to be one of those multitudinous and very popular ministries. But it is still the greatest work on earth. And so here we go to our text. And the Lord calls to Peter and Andrew here in Matthew 4:19, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Well, there's three things I want us to look at here tonight. There is the priority that is given to the Lord Jesus. Follow me and I. And then there's the power of decision that these men would actually drop their nets, give up their boats, give up their families, and go be disciples for the Lord Jesus. And then lastly, we're going to look at the power that was given, the help that was given, that they would enter into this work. So firstly, the priority. Now in this priority, the Lord Jesus said, follow me, follow me. And the literal translation could be this, go back of me, come ye after me. And that means that the Lord Jesus has to be always in the front. He has to be put first and foremost. And we learn this right off in this text. And I learned this, and you should learn this, that our discipleship will only be as good as we give priority to the Lord Jesus. When the priority is self, money, fame, fortune, or anything else, we're going to flop. We're going to lose the focus that is required to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Now, if Jesus was just merely another man, then we couldn't put this priority to him. This week in outreach in many places, we had that little card which says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I said to people right on the doorstep, I said, you know, that has to be the most biased, the most prejudiced, the most exclusive statement that ever was made by one man. If I made it, you'd laugh at me. If some other preacher came to town and said, I'm the only way to the Father, they would drive you out. But the Lord Jesus could truly say it, because he was the Son of God, and he died on the cross, and he opened up a way of atonement and redemption to redeem his church and to buy his people. And it is true that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And so only Jesus can say, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Because there's deity behind this call. There's deity behind the call. And you need to put the Lord Jesus first in your life, in every detail. I wonder, are you doing that tonight? Are you really putting the Lord first? The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, seek ye first to put the Lord Jesus first in your life. And then it will fall into place that you will become a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Now, deity first, and then comes the duty. Jesus gets that priority, and then we will fall into the duty of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus. The word of the Lord Jesus, of course, is our command. The Lord Jesus never preached as other prophets in the Bible. Jeremiah, Isaiah, and others, they came and they said, "Thus saith the Lord." Jesus came and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." He preached in the full authority of his own power and his own command. "He that heareth my words," the Lord Jesus said, "and if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Here is this priority that is to be given to the Lord Jesus and to his word. Now, the more you see the Lord Jesus as God, and your God, and your Lord, and your Master, the greater success you will have as a disciple following him. So our first priority is to study to know the Lord Jesus. There's no point in you going out and becoming some kind of a missionary or a disciple and you don't know the Master. I heard of one preacher, he said these young people that go off on missions trips, they should be, what's the word for it when somebody has a contagious disease? Quarantined, that's the one. They should be quarantined until they get a grasp of the gospel. Because they're going out there, they hardly know who they represent. And discipleship means true priority to the Lord Jesus. That's where it begins. Then comes the power of decision. Because the Lord said to them here in this verse, Matthew 4 and verse 19, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets. There's the power of decision. Now, these were not unemployed louts. These were not shirkers that were bumming off the system. These were men who were fully employed in the business of fishing. They had grown up in the business. Their father was a fisherman. They were busy in this employment. And they had assets, boats, nets, a daily catch that they could sell. They had quite a living. And they dropped it all. Immediately, straightway, and they followed the Lord Jesus. Now, I like the way Mark puts it over in chapter 1, verse 17. And he uses a word that Matthew doesn't use. And it says here, "Where the Lord said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway, sorry, this is Mark 1, 17, 18. "And straightway they forsook their nets." They forsook their nets. That word forsook is the same word as divorce. Something that you are totally over with. No one enters into a divorce if they want a future relationship. No one begins divorce proceedings if they want to build a future. That means that these men, Andrew, Peter, James, John, fishermen, they were giving up that life totally to give themselves to the whole ministry of discipleship and later to become apostles. And they would dedicate their whole lives until the day of their last breath to the work of following, preaching, promoting the kingdom of God. That same word, forsook, is the New Testament word for forgiven. And you need to know tonight that when you are forgiven your sins, it's over. God never rakes them up again. We're told that our sins are cast away as far as the east is from the west. You'll never see your sin again. You're done with them. That's the wonder of the gospel. And this forsaking nets and boats meant that they were given up the very things that they had been living for and by which they were making their living day by day. That's the call of discipleship to these men. And that's the kind of call that God has given down through the generations to countless men who have served the Lord. You read the biography of C.T. Studd. He was a famous cricketer and he was a very rich man. But he gave it all up that he might be a missionary, a preacher of the cross. Eric Liddell, what fame he had for his run in France back in the 1920s, became a missionary to China and died there in a Japanese war camp. He could have left earlier for his own safety, but he had to stay with what he felt was the call of God to his own life. I've read a little of Henry Martin, one of the very first missionaries to India. And in his biography, it states this: as a lad, he was small of stature and sensitive about his lack of athletic ability, but it soon became evident that he had a very brilliant mind. His father, a godly, well-to-do merchant, was able to procure good tutors for him. He excelled in his studies, and at the age of 16, he entered Cambridge University, where he took top honors in mathematics. But he became arrogant and proud and turned his back on God. His testimony of salvation is really remarkable. A number of factors brought him to submission to Christ. There was the death of his godly father in January 1800. And that was a real blow to young Henry. It made him realize that life is short. And it was at this time he began to read the Bible. There were the prayers of his older sister, Sally, a very devout Christian. She prayed earnestly for Henry's conversion. There was also the influence of the saintly Dr. Simeon. He was the pastor of Holy Trinity Church in Cambridge. Dr. Simeon introduced Henry Martin to the life story of David Brainerd, who was the missionary to the North American Indians. And as did David Brainerd, Henry spent long hours in prayer and devotion to God and practiced self-discipline. He ate while standing and lived in an unheated room. He made a vow of life of celibacy, if need be, in order to serve Christ. And it was the work of William Carey in India that led him to feel the call to foreign missions and to serve in that land. Henry turned his back on a very promising academic career to become a preacher of the gospel. And many of his peers thought it was a waste of talent and tried to dissuade him from missionary service. But once he had put his hand to the plow, there was no turning back. Upon graduating with top honors from Cambridge in January 1801, he said this: "I obtained my highest wishes, but was surprised to find that I had grasped a shadow." He became a theological student and was ordained to the gospel ministry on Sunday, October 23rd, 1803, and he preached his first sermon in a small country church a week later. Now, I read that brief synopsis biography of his conversion and call to preach to let you see that down through the history of the Lord's church from the first century and even before that, if you read the Old Testament call of God to men, but down through the ages, God calls his workers to do his work. And the need of this hour in the Christian church at large is for men and women who are sold out to the great work of discipleship for the Lord Jesus. But we're not seeing it as we ought. And we need to take to heart that the fields are white unto harvest and pray that the Lord will thrust them out. Now, this power of decision is phenomenal because they gave up so much, but also that they acted so immediately. Straightway, they left their nets. Now, that was a clear call that meant commitment. And this is the power of the Lord's voice in the soul of a servant. He comes to the point where he can do nothing else. That's why Mr. Spurgeon always advised prospective students for the pastorate. He said, if you can do something else, go do it. If you can go out and make your money by some other means, go do it. But if you're telling me that you can't do anything else because God has called you, then there's the beginning of a call to this work. These men never went back to it. You know the life of James, John, Peter, Andrew, and the other disciples, they never went back. And you know they were there on the day of Pentecost. And right through the book of Acts, you have them preaching, going forth, disciples of the Lord Jesus. Now, there was one little time in Peter's life, and you know, after the death of the Lord Jesus and before the resurrection, before the Lord appeared to Peter, there was that little time when the disciples were somewhat disillusioned. And you remember Peter said, "I go a-fishing." But in the midst of that fishing adventure, the Lord appeared. The Lord appeared. And the Lord called Peter and the other disciples by revealing himself in his glorified state to this work of preaching the glorious gospel. I want to give you one more quote of Henry Martin before I finish this. Henry Martin, before departing for India, said, "I feel no wish to live except to be employed in that work for which Christ died." On the eve of his departure from England, he said, "With a Bible in my hand and Christ at my right hand, strengthening me, I can do all things." And so we need to see this as the power of decision. We need to see this as the very work of God in his heart, that he could do no other. The thing that disappoints me in the Christian ministry today and in God's work today is to see so much indecision amongst God's people. I've been preaching to people for years and years and years, and I can see still indecision in their lives. You ask them, "Are you sold out and dedicated to the cause of Christ?" "Well, I want to be." But they're really not. Some neglect baptism. It's a clear command of the Lord, whatever form, mode, practice you wish to follow, but it's still a clear command. And I don't believe that anyone will do much for God if they neglect what is one of God's chief ordinances in the church. Baptism. If you're a believer entering into baptism, it's no more than just getting wet and telling before the church that you are a believer in the Lord Jesus. But there are many that just put it off and put it off and put it off. Evangelism. And there's people all around you that need the Lord and need to hear the message of the gospel. But are you a witness, even just to give them a leaflet, a tract? Do you pray about souls that the Lord may give you opportunity to speak to them? We don't always get the opportunity. God has to create that, and he can. And then there's prayer. There are some Christians that, "I'm sorry, I just haven't heard you pray. I'm really sorry about that. I can honestly say I'm sorry. And it hurts my heart. I've never heard you pray." I think that's a tragedy in the Christian church for a pastor to have to say, "I've never heard your voice engaged in prayer." That surely is anything but a mark of discipleship. Seeking opportunity in some manner of service. I suppose it is the church's job to create that opportunity. That's why we should have little programs, endeavors, opportunities that you could get involved in, that you might use your talent and gift and opportunities. Henry Martin was so committed and so decided that he must go to the mission field that he never married. His biographer said that he was not spared from Cupid's arrow because he fell in love with a young lady called Lydia. But Lydia would not leave the shores of England to go to any other country to take the gospel. And therefore, Henry Martin could not marry her. They wrote one another for all their years, right up to Henry Martin's death. Well, really, he was a young man of 31 when he died, burned out for the cause of the Lord Jesus. But he wasn't willing to let anything or anyone get in his way of obeying the call of God. Now, that is the power of decision. The Spirit of God convicting, convincing to the point where he would remain married all his unmarried all his days, that he may preach Christ in India. I come lastly tonight to the purpose of this call. You'll notice what the Lord said in verse 19, Matthew 4. He said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's what it's all about. The Christian ministry is not about merely a meditation life. It's about ministry. And the world is to be reached. And the Lord needs workers. The Lord needs evangelists who are good soul winners. And that is to be a huge part of our life and our ministry, bringing people to trust in the Lord Jesus. Now we learn here from this very helpful analogy, making disciples or fishing, fishers of men. And I can picture these four going out fishing with their nets. When I was down in Charleston once in South Carolina, I saw fishermen fish in this manner. They would take their nets, and it would be like a rope around the rim of the net, like a lasso effect. They would throw the net out into the surface of the water, and it would fall in a huge circle on the top of the water while the fish were there feeding. Now, there would be some weights on the rope so that it would go underwater somewhat. And it was up to the fisherman to tug the rope and close the net right at that proper second. There was an art and a skill to such a work. But that's probably the kind of fishing that these men were doing from the shore as they threw out their nets. Now, this analogy is very good for us because there are so many parallels. Firstly, the timing has to be right. And that's where prayer comes in. That's where we need to know the will of God. We need to know the mind of God. The fish must be in the water. No point in fishing if the fish are not in the water. They must be near the surface and actively feeding, or you're never going to get fish in deep sea water or lake water. The net needs to be drawn in with skill. And the goal, of course, is to get the fish out of the water. So what is our work? To get men to leave the world, its sin, its lust, its pleasures, to become disciples of the Lord Jesus. That's our work. And it's a tough work. It's a tough task. And we need to do all the right things as the Lord would send us to serve him. And so we need to see this as a helpful analogy, but also to see it as a higher calling. These men were fishing for fish, which in 2 to 3 days would stink. Very temporary work. But the Lord was going to call them to a higher calling, to fish for men whose souls endure for all eternity. What an ennobling task it was to be taken from fishers of fish to fishers of men. And if God is calling you to leave the most lucrative task in the world to be a fisher of men, let me tell you, that's a higher calling. That's a calling that will stand the test of eternity. It's a calling that will honor the Lord. And if God uses you, will save men for all eternity in the kingdom of heaven. It's a higher calling because we minister to the hearts and souls of men to preach the eternal message that God loves sinners and to call them to leave the world. That's a high and holy calling. So do not think that this is despicable work. It's an honorable work. And it's a task that if the Lord is speaking to you about it, you should do with joy and with commitment. And in this, you will have help. The Lord says, I will make you fishers of men. They will not make themselves fishers of men. I will make you. In Mark's account, I will make you to become fishers of men. The Lord would so prepare them. And of course, we're going to begin now 3 years of discipleship with the Lord Jesus before his death. They would also be prepared in the upper room when the Holy Spirit would come upon them. and they would preach and the Holy Ghost would be given, the Lord would help them. Let me ask you tonight, do you know anything about Christian service where you truly experience heaven's help? Now, for that, you have to go out on the limb. You have to walk the plank right to the end where you're at the end of your own resources, and you have to really trust the Lord. Then the Lord helps you. Paul said, who is sufficient for these things? And his answer was, our sufficiency is of God. Now, gospel work is difficult work. Missionary work takes years and very often a lifetime. You might think that you could never do it. God would never call me because I am totally unfit and I am immediately disqualified because I don't have it. Well, let me tell you, the sense of inadequacy is the first qualification. If you tell me I'm fit to do it, you're not the man. But if you're saying, maybe the Lord could make me a fisher of men, then you are the man. And God, by His grace and by His Spirit, can make you to become a fisher of men. The first thing to do is follow Him. Give Christ the priority that He must have as you come back of Him and come after Him to be His disciple. And it is a work that is done by the Lord through you. You become the Lord's conduit, His channel. We sing the hymn, Channels Only, Blessed Savior, but with Thy wondrous power. And it must be the Holy Spirit taking your life, taking your testimony and your words, that you might win a soul to the Lord Jesus. And I close with something that I've said, I'm sure, a number of times from this pulpit. The best thing that can ever happen to a sinner on the road to hell is to rub shoulders, come into personal contact with a living Christian. I don't care what CDs you have. I don't care what books you have. I don't care what any other means you have. God uses the witness of living Christians. He says, ye are my witnesses. And that's how the Lord will build His church. And that's why He calls men. I trust tonight that you want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Now let me qualify just a few things before we close. Not everybody is going to be going to Geneva Reformed Seminary. Not everybody will be going to Liberia or some mission field. But every Christian has a missionary's heart. Every Christian is given a missionary's burden to some degree. And it will manifest itself in your corporate worship, in your praying, your giving, your interest in the cause of extending Christ's kingdom. And you will give Christ that priority in your life that He may make you a channel of blessing. And so I ask you tonight to surrender your life. Put things in proper perspective and priority. And if there is something that seems to be just taking you over, tonight, forsake the nets, the boats, the stuff of life, and follow the Lord Jesus. Will you do that? And the Lord can use you and give you an exciting Christian life, a thrilling Christian life of being used of Him.